My name is Elizabeth Goodman. I am 22 years old. Today is March 10th, 2018, and I am speaking with Eben Hunsucker, who is my boyfriend. We have been together for about 3 years, and we have a daughter together who is a year and a half. And we are recording this interview in Woodstock, Georgia. So, Eben, tell me what you were like as a child. What did you look like, and how did you like to spend your time?
I was kind of your average Joe kind of kid. I was the firstborn. I have three siblings, so one of four, and we lived in a small town in rural Texas. We're not rural, but suburban Texas. And so I lived on a small street, and we had a group of guys around my same age. And so I spent long summers out, playing sports, and rarely wanted to come inside, to be honest with you.
What do you think it was like growing up with a unique name?
Definitely got made fun of a little bit, but in the long run, it just made it so unique that people always knew who I was and knew who I was in coming before I got there.
Yeah, I mean, it is a pretty cool name.
Thanks.
So, if someone didn't know who you were, how would you describe yourself to them before you met? Or describe yourself to someone who's never met you?
Well, I guess I am... that's a tough question. I guess I'm, average, 6 foot tall, athletic build, and of American, Caucasian descent.
Well, you have a German last name.
I do have a German last
name. And you have a cute little red beard.
I do have a sharp, and I try to keep, a well-trimmed reddish hue beard.
It's definitely red.
But I'm actually strawberry blonde, so the red beard is actually a separate color than the hair on my head.
Does your family ever, do you guys have, any German traditions, or did you just end up with a German last name?
Weirdly enough, some of the traditions almost seem German because we do love sauerkraut and hot dogs and obviously now a little bit of beer, but
a little bit, a lot of it.
But in no way is it so much a carryover as much as almost a rekindling of some sort of old faith traditions, but
old soul.
My last name actually means farmer in German, and last name Hunsucker actually comes from the German derivative Unsacker, which is roughly translated, it means like farmer or agriculturalist.
That's pretty cool. So who would you say, who are one or two people who have been the biggest influences on your life?
Influences on my life? Well, first my father, and, as tough as he was, he actually, has given me as much direction and guidance as any, person has. I'd have to say my mother, between the two of them, they've raised and given me, a firm foundation and also let me explore life. And being the firstborn, they let me branch out in ways that I never could have imagined. One being, going out west and going to school in Utah, where I spent several years at school in college. And in doing so, reshaped a lot of my life, but you never know where life will take you, and they always encourage me to explore life to its nth degree, so always take it in, capture it in, and make it unique. So.
So definitely your parents. They are, your parents are awesome. Do you think anybody like outside of your family influenced your life?
I look to, I guess, like, historical figures and things like that to give me direction. I guess people like Benjamin Franklin and, you know.
Ooh, that's a good one.
inventors were somebody that I've always imagined myself being like. And I kind of have this uncanny ability to just want to think and find solutions to problems. And
you are like always coming up with new inventions.
Yeah.
One day you're going to be on Shark Tank.
I like figuring out why there's not a solution to a problem is my next big adventure. So I guess.
Do you think you get to do any of that in your current job? Like, what do you do? What is your job right now?
Currently, I work in a restaurant. And we are a family bar and restaurant, so we work on menus for teams and for baseball.
So you're the manager?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
And so we can do, you know, all sorts of opportunities to grow the business, whether it be inside or outside. And consistency is actually the most important thing you can do, but sometimes we get to get creative and we'll add new drinks to the menu or sometimes have new beers or wine cocktails come in.
What is your favorite beer that you would want to see on like any restaurant menu?
It would have to be an IPA and as local as could be. Probably near the top is Sweetwater IPA. But some of the more unique beers that I like are from breweries all around Asheville and as well from up in the Midwest like Michigan and in California as well.
Cool, cool. I know you are super into your beers. Let's see. Do you want to tell me about one of your happiest memories?
One of my happiest memories is probably the day that my daughter was born. And
oh, that was cute.
You know, I have it locked away in my heart so deeply, but she is my life each day. So, yes, the day she was born was truly something to cherish for sure.
That was, like, the craziest day we've ever had.
It was. And it started early in the morning, and
no, you got to back up. You worked all night.
I worked all night.
And then you came home, and then we had to, like, rush to the hospital.
This is true.
And you never even slept till, like, after she was born, right? You might have napped while I was in labor.
May have laid down for, like, 30 minutes or so, but
you were really mad that I had the air conditioner so cold.
That was one of my funniest memories was going outside. It was August 3rd. And
yeah, it's super hot outside.
Walking outside versus walking into that room was a difference of over 50 degrees. and that's no joke. So 105 to 55. That was truly 50 degrees of difference.
You were wrapped up in all those blankets.
It was very chilly.
That was a pretty awesome day. Let's see. So now we've got a tough question. So can you tell me about one of the most difficult moments or memories in your life?
My most difficult moment is by far, one of my most vulnerable ones. And it's that I was in a accident of more or less self-inducing traumatic events that reshaped who I was at the age of 20.
So what happened?
I was...
Wait, where were you when you were 20?
I was living in Utah.
You were at school?
I was at school.
Mm-hmm. What'd you go to school for?
I went to school for communications. I was a communications major at the time, and I was a sophomore and was living on campus. And
were you like in a fraternity or played sports or anything?
I was in a fraternity, and I did intramural sports, but more or less just was active in community life, but was in the Phi Delta Theta fraternity. And waited until, you know, after freshman year to join them. So,
oh, I didn't know that.
It wasn't something that I was encouraged to do as much as I really just had a group of friends that I had made, and they just all happened to be Phi Delts. And so...
So what did you guys do when you hung out?
Well, we often hung out at my buddy's house. We all lived off on campus. Our sophomore year, we lived off campus in a house that his parents bought for him, and it was a four-bedroom house that we rented out to each of us, plus him and two other buddies and his girlfriend. And so we had a full house of people, and really enjoyed going skiing and
Of course, you have to ski in Utah.
Yeah, we enjoyed, you know, Super Bowl parties and just gatherings of all sorts, and we often enjoyed playing poker on Sunday nights. But I ended up moving into the fraternity and living there for a year and a half, and in doing so, you know.
So is that when, like, the difficult moment happened, when you lived in the fraternity?
Yes, it was one of those times in my life where, you know, you're young, but you, growing up, you know, with all, of the sheltered and controlled, realities of life, you don't understand, quite.
So you kind of went crazy when you went to college?
Going crazy was an understatement, for sure. Definitely.
Yeah, but you grew up Mormon, right? So you like
had religious restrictions and so had all of those controls.
Okay, so lifted. We're off track. So let's get back to the question.
Absolutely.
So what is the most difficult moment? Like, how did all of this backstory like lead up to that?
It's a night of rabble-rousing and good fun turn wrong in not more than a challenge to do, you know, stunts of bravery as a youth. And
oh, so somebody challenged you to do something?
No. The challenge wasn't to do something as much as just to accomplish getting to the top and seeing the view from the building behind our fraternity. And
so you climbed up on top of a building behind your frat house?
This is true.
So like what time was it, like daytime, nighttime?
It was nighttime. It was about 2 a.m.
Was it really cold outside since it was Utah?
It was early March, as we all know. And it was not so much cold as it was just brisk. You know, you're like just, yeah, you're wearing a jacket and you've got jeans on.
So what happened when you got to the top of the building?
I was in this interlock grasp with a buddy who had climbed it already. And when I grabbed his hand, he kind of slipped. And with it came my grasp. And I almost fell at that moment. But instead I just held on and re-grasped the pole.
What are you doing? Just scaling the side of the building? There's not like a ladder?
No, no, it's a stunt. So what you're doing is imagine, being gripping onto the side of a pole, that's large enough to put your arms around, almost like a bear hug style, but your feet are grasped against the brick, and your, strength of tension there gives you the ability to basically walk it up it, except it's not 5 feet or 10 feet or 15 feet, it's 40 feet.
So is this like a ritual for your fraternity house?
No, we had actually... No,
just like a friend dare kind of thing?
Yeah, he had actually done it before, and little did I know that he had actually gotten hurt and fell like 15 feet and like gashed his leg when he did it before. And
you didn't know that when you climbed up?
No, he didn't let us know quite, you know, how daring of a stunt it was. And obviously we all know how quickly things can go from
Were you a little inebriated when you were climbing up the building?
I was a little bit inebriated, but all self-induced. So
what happened when you got up there?
So when I got up there, he, you know, offered his hand to help me over the top. And when I did, I reached up, grabbed his hand, and he kind of like fell as I grabbed him and almost pulled him over too. And instead, you know, regressed the pole and he caught his bearings as well. But, you know, ended up getting lodged and stuck in a weird way. And when you're kind of on the side of a building, things can accelerate so quickly. But eventually what happened was I fell, and in doing so, fell through a fan that was a fan blade coming out of the exhaust fan out of the building, which cut through my heel bone. And then I landed on the ground. And
how many feet did you fall?
45 feet.
So how many stories is that?
4.5.
So like almost 5 stories.
Almost 5 stories.
So what happened when you were like made it to the ground?
So I made it to the ground and I was unconscious, but still able to hear. And I had a team of my friends.
Oh, so you like you couldn't move, but you could hear?
I couldn't move, think, really breathe or do much of anything, but for some reason I could hear.
That's interesting.
And it's
so you like remember what you heard?
Oh, I never lost in any sort
so
of.
What did you hear?
I heard, you know, all my friends around me going, oh my gosh, you know, what's going on? And they said to me, you know, is he alive or is he dead? And, you know, Justin, who was, there right when I fell, said, no, he's alive, but he's unconscious and he's barely breathing. And so they came rushing to my aid with their Jeep and, pulled me off the roof and into their car.
Oh my gosh, they pulled you.
And rushed me up the road to the hospital. And I was there and.
Do you think that was bad? Do you think they should have waited for the paramedics? Or do you think it's...
The fastest you can get me there was probably really? The best thing, but they
so
were
scary
also...
scary that they moved you.
Yeah, they were very aware that, you know, it's hard to explain everything that you're doing other than to just take you to the hospital. So they took me to the hospital and get me there very quickly, and it actually takes less than 2 minutes to get to the hospital from... our fraternity house.
Well, that's convenient.
And it's at the bottom of campus versus the 2 miles up to the top of campus. And it's the best hospital in the entire Midwest of the country. And weirdly enough, the injuries that I sustained are quite normal out there because of people who ski and do outdoor sports. So.
Oh, I hadn't thought about that. There probably is like a lot of leg injuries.
They actually had done the surgery that took to fix my heel. The doctor that did it had done it over 1,400 times.
And, like, normally your injury was from, like, skiing or, like, snowboarding.
Normally. But it also happens from car accidents and all sorts of things.
So how did they fix your heel? Your heel was, like, shattered, right?
My heel was shattered and my hips were broken. They repaired my hips first. And it took 22 pins. And they basically cut into my abdomen and removed most of my organs to basically drill and rebuild
my
hips.
They took your organs out of your body.
That is correct.
Oh my gosh, babe, I didn't know that.
And then, you know, because they're having to literally, you know, re-drill into your hips where all your organs are sitting.
That is so scary.
And then they, you know, put everything back and make sure you're good to go. And
so how about your heel? How did they fix your heel?
So the heel actually didn't happen for 2.5 months later because
really
when I landed, it caused a compound fracture, which is actually when the bone comes through the skin.
Oh,
And so waiting on that to heal was taking longer than they wanted it to. And they were not going to cut into one side of the heel when the other side is still healing. And so it finally healed, and they were able to cut into the other side of the heel. And to that, they took cadaver bone, which is actually, you know, from a deceased individual. which is just donor bone. And then they also took the inside of my shin, which has the enzymes to help new bone grow. And they used that to rebuild my heel, as well as using three large screws. So kind of acting like, you know, building blocks. They like drilled in there and then compacted in there like putty, and allowed that spongy bone to expand and grow. And I have a solid joint now. And I have about, I'd say, you know, 95% mobility.
So how is, like, the follow-up from that? Like, how long did it take until you could walk?
So from injury to recovery, it took 9 months.
Before you could walk?
Yes, it took, from the moment it happened, I was in the hospital for, I want to say, I spent 11 days in the hospital, and the first day that I actually got to leave, which was after I had been moved from the hospital to a rehab facility, I was able to go out, quote unquote, which was having some friends come and take me over to a buddy's house for St. Patrick's Day. But the funny thing was, is I did not recover fully for another 7.5 months from that point.
Were your friends, like, supportive, or did they...
They were. They were extremely supportive because they understood that, you know, in no way did I blame anybody, and also I needed them just as much as they wanted to have me still, so...
Did you blame yourself?
I had a lot of guilt and remorse, not only for, you know, just the accident itself, but... wondering, you know, what could have gone differently. So, you know, you look at one moment for the rest of your life, because each day you could look back on it and you could say, what if? But you just have to move forward. And each of the people that I met in the rehab facility had a huge impact on my growth and development. And it's only because of the moments that I experienced as I was recovering, that gave me the perspective I needed to not continually look back on those days.
Kind of dwell on it. So it's like, it's interesting to me that when the accident happened, like, obviously you had been drinking and partying and doing, like, typical college kid stuff. But now, I mean, now you're 33 years old and you have, like, a healthy relationship with, like, alcohol. You are, like, super knowledgeable about craft beers, and you manage a restaurant where you, like, order the liquor license. So what would you tell someone in college about, like, having, like, a healthy relationship with alcohol as far as being an adult versus abusing it?
I mean, education is actually really important to me, and I could give you a million reasons about the amount of alcohol that one should imbibe each day, not only through self-diagnosis, but as well through community-driven classes. And, you know, the average tolerance should be restrictive. No one should have more than 2 beers in any one sitting, and no one should ever have 3 beers in any one day. And for us to push that to any more tolerance, it just encourages binge drinking, and that's the difference between my job now versus being in college. Is, you know, the idea of stopping at 3 drinks is absurd, but when you're talking about craft beers especially, as well as the opportunity to sample a lot of great beers, the high ABV or the alcohol by volume, you have to be aware of that alcohol content and be accepting of the fact that you should remember that tolerance is not acceptable as far as a drinking standard, but also, you know, the alcohol limit to drive in Georgia is 0.8 or 0.08. And, you know, we forget how quickly drinking craft beers can just take you over the limit.
Yeah, it's good to see that you've, like, had so much growth from that. Do you think that this story, and as far as like educating yourself on like your limits, especially when you are young, like a college kid, do you think you would share this with your daughter? When she's old enough, of course.
I think the most important thing is to note how sheltered I was and how restricted I was to any sort of, ideology that involved a drinking culture. And as a result, I had to explore it and had to understand without having any limitations put on it. Definitely, I think European cultures actually are more forgiving for this because they, you know, by 14, you can have a glass of wine.
What? You're going to give Ruby Jane a glass of wine at 14?
No, I'm not saying, I'm not saying 14 is acceptable, but what I'm saying is because you're taking, A, the age limit down, and B...
So taking, like, all the mystery and away from it.
It takes the need to show off, and it takes the need to understand, oh, I'm away from my parents, and now I'm going to learn what it's like to drink. Well, if you have 3 or 4 glasses of wine, you're going to feel sick, you might even throw up, and everyone's going to go, oh, she's just young. But at least you get that out of your system at, you know, around friends and around family and not around some random person that could leave you on the street for a boyfriend. And then all of a sudden you're waiting on a ride from Uber and there's nobody around to help you. So I think that in our culture, we put too much pressure on the party aspect and not just the intelligence part of, yes, we are young college kids. We have everything going for us, but we're trying to have a good time. And to have a good time doesn't mean giving up the rest of your life, which is unfortunately a mistake that happened to me. And by no means did it take away my entire future, but it had a huge impact.
Do people still talk about it? I mean, it's been 13 years. Does anybody ever just like bring it up?
The ramifications of what happened to me is more of an urban legend type story, but my fraternity still exists. And I still know
all the guys. So you're an urban legend at your college?
A little bit. I mean, so
you're like the guy that fell off the building.
I am the Humpty Dumpty. I had a great fall.
That's an interesting legacy to leave.
You know what? I don't think anyone has done it since, and I encourage no one to do it.
Have you been back to Utah since your accident?
I lived out there for several months after the accident. Came home once before going back out there, but I haven't been out in over 10 years.
Oh. And so, looking at your life 13 years ago and then now, did you think that your life would end up like this?
Oh, my life. You can't script life, but my life is as unique as they come. So, I'm pleasurably in line with... finding out that I'm having a great existence, but you really have to take life seriously because the older you get, the more you realize that if I didn't have all the people I had to go with it, then life wouldn't matter at all.
So, would you say you're definitely happier now than you were 13 years ago?
I'm the happiest I've ever been in my life.
Oh, that's sweet, babe. Let's see. So, going off where you're at now in life, do you think that you're doing a good job as far as in your work life and in your family life? And how do you feel about being a dad? Do you feel like you're excelling in that area?
Each day, you juggle different hats. And fortunately for me, I at least work close to home. So even though I may not be in her, in my daughter's life, or even in family life during the week, I am still able to call and text and be a part of the day-to-day without being gone for long stints. But I do wish...
You do work a lot.
I do wish I had more time.
Yeah.
And I do know that I'm working for the right causes and, you know, living here we have given our daughter all the opportunities in the world. So I know that my parents have taught me if one thing, if anything, is to make sure you to provide and never give up on making sure that there's enough on the table for you and for, you know, the, you know, all of the people that you take care of. So we love very, very seriously and very, very dedicatedly. And by doing so, you know, there's a little bit extra to go around.
So just a question that I want to selfishly ask. Did you think that you would end up with someone like me?
What do you mean, someone like you?
Like in a good way. I don't know. Like someone, I mean, I'm 11 years younger than you.
I had no idea that me and you were going to fall in love with one another. So it was a surprise, but we have never